I recall having an interesting dinner with a priest named Father Federico Collaudi way back in 2007. He had come to our companion's house that we had just kind of started up, so I guess 2008, and he came to visit at our invitation. He was the vice rector at the Redemptoris Mater Seminary, the missionary seminary of Denver that brings guys in from around the world to then serve as priests here, like Father Mateusz, who was here with us. And we invited him to dinner as we were kind of asking just different people who have experience with community life, things like that, to just share their own insights about that. And we had a great dinner, the four of us, kind of the founding four that we had started with, talking about companion's life and getting a bit of wisdom from him. But I remember he saved his best wisdom for last. As we were walking out of the house and I was walking out with him and down to the sidewalk, I remember, you know, him saying, "Well, you know, this is wonderful what you're undertaking, and this is a great thing. I really encourage you in it." And I remember telling Father Federico, Father Collaudi, that, "Well, yes, you know, we've been really blessed by God. We just have to stay faithful to those blessings." And when I said that and he was walking in front of me, he whipped around and looked me right in the eye with his Argentinian intensity, raised his finger, and he said, "You won't be, but God will be." You know, that God is the one who is ultimately, who is faithful, not to rely upon ourselves that way. And, well, it's a bunch of years later. What is that? 16 years later. And I'm still thinking about how he just impressed that point so strongly upon me. And we've seen God's fidelity in our Companions of Christ life. There's 21 of us now from four at the beginning, and our community has all kinds of ups and downs. I think sometimes just like borderline dysfunctional and all kinds of strife and drama and adventure. But God keeps showing up. He keeps blessing. He keeps guiding really through all of that. And he has been faithful. And so I just propose to you that I think as Father Collaudi would direct us, and I think our readings do as well today, it's so important for us to keep looking at the God side of the equation, if I can put it that way. That, yes, you know, when we think about our life, it's important, you know, that we be faithful, that we keep striving for virtue, that we live, you know, a good life as Jesus has called us to, and that we use well the grace that he's given us. And so we have our side of that equation, but really the big one, the decisive one, is what God is doing and the grace that he gives, and indeed in the promises he has made to us and his great fidelity in them. And so we hear today in our gospel, Elizabeth exclaims to Mary, "Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." You know, declaring this great blessing of Mary's belief, but specifically her belief of how the Lord and the Lord, in fact, does fulfill his promises. And so living guided by the promises of God is, I think, an important part of our Christian life. Just going to the visitation itself, we see this beautiful encounter of, you know, two mothers and two sons. And you have Elizabeth, this woman who the wife, her husband is Zechariah, one of the priests of the temple. And she's been formed in the trial of not being able to have children. And now she's advanced in years. And in many ways, she represents kind of that old covenant, that yearning of Israel for God's action, for his deliverance, for a Messiah. You know, and she expresses that, and she represents that hope and that yearning of Israel. And then her son, John the Baptist, is the greatest and last of those prophets of Israel, because he himself will directly point to Jesus the Savior, to Jesus the Lamb of God, as John the Baptist, you know, describes him in the Gospel of John. And so on one side, you have kind of the old covenant in this long walk of Israel with the Lord, yet still knowing that there are many things the Lord has promised and yearning for those. And then you have Mary there, who is bearing Jesus Christ, bearing that Messiah, who incredibly beyond anything that Israel would have expected is both God and man, the Word incarnate, the Word made flesh. And so Mary is appropriately known as the Mother of God, Theotokos. And she's also the Ark of the New Covenant. The Ark of the Old Covenant had those tokens of covenant, of God's fidelity, like the manna, things like that, you know, that was a sign of God's presence and accompaniment. Well, now the New Covenant Ark is not some golden box. It is Mary herself, you know, an infinitely more precious vessel. And she bears within herself the bread come down from heaven, Jesus Christ, the one who is the New Covenant, who is that covenant life and fidelity itself. And she comes to meet Elizabeth. And there's this great rejoicing at what the Lord has now brought to fulfillment. That Mary, you know, through Mary, Israel's Messiah and the Savior of the world is finally come. And so they rejoice at how God is fulfilling his promises, this unfolding of God's plan. In our first reading, there's an allusion to that from the prophet Micah, that this one shall come, you know, from Bethlehem, so small. Yet still, it's from this small Bethlehem that the Messiah will come to be ruler in Israel. But also his rule shall extend to the ends of the earth, it describes. And so God's promise is being, you know, fulfilled not just for Israel, but for all peoples. And Mary in her Magnificat that she says right after what Elizabeth says to her in our gospel today, he has helped Israel, his servant, remembering his mercy, according to his promise to our fathers, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. And so there is this great rejoicing that God gives his promises and indeed he fulfills them. And so if looking at this time of the nativity of Jesus and entering into that at Christmas, we rejoice at how God has been faithful to those promises of old, that should also help us then lean into with confidence and trust the great promises of the new covenant established by Jesus Christ. There are many of them. If you just go through the New Testament and delve into it, what are all the things that Jesus promises us? It is an amazing, kind of rich, abundant, kind of, banquet of promises that the Lord gives us. And it's so important, I think, for our hearts to really know and lean into and trust and yearn for those to come to fulfillment. Let me just give you a few of these out of the Gospels. Jesus promises this in John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And so Jesus promises this gift of peace, which he gives after having gone through his death and then his resurrection. He greets the apostles, breathes the Spirit, "Peace be with you." And it's not as the world gives. The world's peace is very conditional, always broken, always disrupted, always passing, and always depending on things working out just right. But the peace of Christ is peace because of our union with him. Or in John chapter 7, Jesus says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water." And what he's speaking about there is the gift of that Spirit that he would give to his disciples, to those who believe and become those docile instruments of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will flow from us, will be implanted in our hearts through faith, and then flow out into our Christian lives. Or, again, John 14, Jesus says, "And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you also may be." And so a powerful promise that he gave to his disciples right there at the close of the Last Supper before he was arrested and entered into his passion, that in this Passover he was accomplishing in Jerusalem, as Luke describes it, he is going to prepare a place for you. And not only that, he promises to come back, to take us, that we may be with him in the Father's house. What a powerful and incredible promise that he makes. And then here's another one from the book of Revelation. Jesus says, he who conquers, that is, conquering by that fidelity to Christ's covenant, that deep adherence to that life with Christ, he who conquers shall be clad thus in white garments, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life. Instead, I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. What a beautiful promise that if we indeed follow Jesus well in this life, that he will delight in confessing, you know, us belonging to him before our Heavenly Father, before the angels. What an incredible promise that is. And then I'll give you one more. There's about 8,000 more. I'll just stop with this final one, where he says at the very end of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, as he's about to ascend to the Father, he says, "Behold, I am with you always. Behold, I am with you always." That powerful fulfillment of his name, Emmanuel, that is spoken at the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, and Emmanuel that we just sang, you know, in our entrance hymn, that Emmanuel, that name that means God with us. And Jesus makes the promise to be with you always. And what a powerful one that is indeed already realized for us as Christ dwells within our hearts, as he is as he's here with us where two or three are gathered in his name, and then so powerfully and in an unequaled way as he's with us in the Eucharist. How wonderfully he already is fulfilling that promise. And so, my brothers and sisters, God has given us such amazing promises of the new covenant. Having fulfilled the promises of the old, He gives us an even richer abundance of promise now in how we think, how we speak, how we imagine, how we hope, how we choose, how we live and act. Is it according to the many promises that God has given us? Are those truly that light of our life, that guidance for us, that they are meant to be? As Peter says in the second letter of St. Peter, he has bestowed on us the precious and very great promises, so that through them you may come to share in the divine nature after escaping from the corruption that is in the world because of evil desire. Are our desires formed by the promises of God? We know he is faithful. We see that. We celebrate that in the birth of Christ. Are we being formed by the promises Christ gives to us? Now, there can be great struggle in the midst of that. You know, the path of God's fulfillment of his promises can be mysterious, can be challenging in our lives. Consider Mary herself. Here she is in the visitation. There's this time of great joy. You know, this expectant mother, the Messiah, this incredible, mysterious, and wonderful gift of the Messiah. And there's Elizabeth, you know, blessing her. And it's just a beautiful moment. But we know that Mary's following of Christ, her discipleship, takes her to the foot of the cross. There she is before the cross of her son. And there she is with that sword piercing her heart, as Simeon had prophesied so long ago in the infancy of Jesus, watching her son die, what she hopes in seemingly shattered and blotted out before her. That was Mary's experience. That was part of her journey of discipleship. And yet, it was through that awful passion and crucifixion of her son that indeed sin is conquered, death is defeated, and then God's life and his great love of the resurrection is ushered into the world, that great fulfillment of God's promises. And so just like Mary, so for us, God doesn't promise immunity from suffering. You won't find that in there. He doesn't promise that, but he does promise the resurrection that overcomes it. And so we can see our suffering now in a different way. As the cross it is, but as the cross that configures us to Christ to receive then his resurrected life, already here and now and fully in the glory of God. And so I encourage you to ponder the precious promises of God. and rejoice at how God has already fulfilled so many promises of old by the coming of Christ. Let us yearn and be guided by the fulfillment that still awaits. Let us attend to the God side of the equation to help us on our side of the equation as well. And maybe also, just as Mary went in haste, may we go in haste also to those who are yearning for the Messiah, yearning for that salvation in their lives, yearning for Christ who fulfills our desires and guides us. May we go with that great joy, magnifying the Lord by our words and by our lives and sharing Christ with others. Those people are out there and they're so hungry and they're waiting and they may be waiting for us. And then the Holy Spirit, who has prepared them, will help us to share Christ, that light of the nations, that joy of every heart, that we can rejoice at the coming of the Messiah and then yearn for and wait and trust in all the fulfillment to come.